Good morning, church. I think we all know this psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet and still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. He's with me. His rod, his staff, they comfort me. He sets a table for me in the midst of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. For I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is just not a beautiful psalm or a poem by a skillful writer. This comes from a man that encountered the living God. And this is his testimony. And this testimony has witnessed to generation upon generation upon generation. And wouldn't it be wonderful if our testimonies would do the same? Eh? The Lord is my shepherd. It was personal. I shall not want. He was satisfied. He leads me. You know what it means to be led? It means you've got to follow. And to follow, you've got to trust. This is big. He trusted in God so much that he could face those dark valleys because he knew his God was with him. He related to the Lord as a good shepherd. And he knew a shepherd's heart, a heart to protect his sheep, to feed his sheep, to keep his sheep together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we declare that you are the good, good shepherd. You are the good, good Father, Lord. And you want to share your heart with us this morning. We are your sheep of the pasture, Lord. This morning we declare that your love, your mercy, your grace is far stronger than any force, any snare that keeps your people from running to you. Open up our eyes this morning, Lord, and help us to see your heart for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Sure. I've titled the message this morning, Moving from the Legal to the Experiential. And I've given it the sort of theme title because I know many of us are not experiencing the true benefits that come through being sons and heirs of the kingdom of God through our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. And God wants us to experience so much more of him than what we're experiencing now. Same as David. But in the same breath, God wants us to trust him as well. We all know Romans 8, okay, verse 1. For there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And what we need to understand is this is not the flesh. The flesh is the very nature, okay, that wants to rule this. It's the nature that wants us to set our own table. And whatever we eat off this table, we have worked for, we're entitled to, and God must bless. And although that sounds wonderful from a worldly perspective, in the kingdom of heaven, it is a slavery mentality. Sons eat at the Father's table. They eat what the Father's provided, and they partake of what the Father has paid for, if you get the drift. There's two things I want us to focus on this morning. The one is God's heart for us, and the other, we need to ask ourselves, at which table are we sitting? Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Justification, justifier, all the just mean basically to be made righteous. But what this passage teaches us, that the law is there to show us that we are sinners. It's there to show us our need for the Savior. Amen. It mirrors our guilt, but it has no power to remove it. Only by believing in Jesus can our guilt be removed. Romans 4, verse 5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Okay. A couple of months ago, and I know I've shared the story with some of you already, a couple of months ago, June, July holiday, Dawn and I and Sarah, we at the Redberry Farm in George, and we went to go do the biggest maze in the Southern Hemisphere. And the whole object of the maze is they've hidden 7 checkpoints. And they give you a card, and they say, okay, if you find the checkpoints, you'll receive a stamp. So you find 7 checkpoints, you receive 7 stamps. Then you hand your card in, and they give you a badge. Okay, they give you a badge to say you've now completed the biggest maze in the Southern Hemisphere. So you can imagine I was quite excited about this. I Google mapped, aerial view, just to give myself a bit of a competitive edge. And they told us it will take 1.5 hours. The average family does 1.5 hours. We did it just over 1 hour. We were very proud of ourselves, but I was exhausted. Okay, I went to sit on a bench, flustered, red in the face, and the girls, they wanted to now do a train ride around the park. But I was sitting there, and I was just admiring my badge that I now received, okay? And I was admiring it, and that's when the Lord spoke to me. He said, Colin, this is how you're trying to live your Christian life. You're trying to get the stamps to earn the badge. You see, in the kingdom of heaven, it's the other way around. God gives us the badge. Now go get the stamps. He's made us righteous. Now go walk in righteousness. He's made us sons. Live as sons. And you see, the sons take care of the father's business. They don't take care of his business to be sons. You understand? So when we read the scripture, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. In other words, he that does not collect his stamps to earn the badge, but through faith receives his badge of righteousness. We understand that. It's pretty simple. But there's now a danger to this righteousness. And I don't want you to see me as somebody throwing stones or making you feel bad or anything like that, but I've got to share this with you. If we are living our lives trying to get our stamps to earn our badge, and we influence our brothers and sisters that have already received their righteousness to do the same, we are meddling with witchcraft. Let me repeat myself. If we are living our lives, okay, trying to justify ourselves through our own works, and we influence our brothers and sisters to do the same, we are meddling with witchcraft. And I'm going to prove it to you if you don't believe me. Let's go to Galatians 3, verse 1. Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having been begun in the Spirit, that you are now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Sure, Paul is using strong words here. You know, he's calling the Galatians fools. Why would you now receive your righteousness and go back to try and live your life through your own flesh? Let's go to Romans 10. Sorry that we're moving around a bit this morning. Romans 10. Verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. This was me just a few months ago. Been a Christian for quite a while. Believed I was a son, living like a slave. I had so much zeal, but I was trying the whole time to establish my own righteousness. And I saw in my life a pattern. Because once God showed me this, for some or other reason, I went back, just like the Galatians. And I couldn't understand, why am I keep on going back? You know, and it's unknowingly, let me give you an example. A month ago, sitting in Christoph's office, I share the story about now the badge and the stamps. He says, Colin, trust God for a sermon concerning this. I said, okay, I'll trust God. And I left the office. In my car, panic. Panic, panic, panic. Me and my big mouth. What have I done now? This is too big for me. This is just way, way, way too big for me. This is a pull that needs to be broken, you know, by the big guys, you know, the Daniels and the Hennies from Shofar Series. They need to bring this. I can't do this. What have I done now? And then the first thing that went into action is, okay, maybe if I fast, spend more time with the Lord, sacrifice more, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da, maybe then God will break this open for me and then I can present it. And in that whole time, God is silent. Nothing. Every morning I'm sitting there, nothing. How do I take a message from stamps and a badge to a sermon? So I decide, phone Daniel. Phone Daniel. Daniel, I need to speak to you. I need to speak to you. It's urgent. Da-da-da-da. Colin, I'm busy driving. Can you phone me in 20 minutes? Okay, I'll phone you in 20 minutes. The longest 20 minutes of my life. Phone him. Daniel doesn't answer. Phone him again. Daniel still doesn't answer. Eventually, I gave up on Daniel. I left a message, I'll phone you tomorrow. Next day, my day was so hectic, I didn't get to sit, I didn't get to drink water. By the time I got home, I was so exhausted. The last thing I wanted to do was phone Daniel. But in this whole time of trying to now, you know, if I just work for it, God will give it to me. You know, in that, God was still was showing me, Colin, just rest in me. Just rest in me. So I finally got to the place of just resting. He was still silent. So I rested some more, and eventually God broke this thing open for me. Sure. And I'm sharing it with you today, but it's been a road. It's been a test. So I've got this pattern that I keep on going back to. How do I break this pattern? So I asked the Lord, Lord, show me, how do I break this pattern over my life? I don't want to be a foolish Galatian. Romans 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. In other words, I cannot submit to the righteousness of God until I come to the end of trying to establish my own. I have to come to the end of my own efforts before I can submit under His. Wow. Wow, that was big for me. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Verse 14, how then shall they call on the name in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting a client a couple of years ago. This woman shook my world. She was so bold, she was so courageous, nothing stopped her from sharing the gospel with others. Every time I had a gap in the day, I would go to a shop just to watch how she would operate. She had all the symbolism, from the cross to the dove. She had gospel music playing the whole time. And standing from the outskirts of this woman's life, I saw she was being heavily persecuted. People were laughing at her, throwing stones at her, mocking her, talking behind her back. And it wasn't sinners. It was her brothers and sisters in Christ. And with me being a spectator in this woman's life, the one morning I'll never forget, the Lord showed me she was like a cup that overflows, just like David. His cup overflowed. So I went to her with this encouraging word, and I said, listen, this is what I see. This is what the Lord has shown me in your life. You're a cup that overflows. How do you do it? How do you do it? Were you born like this? Where do you get the courage? How do you do it? And she said something to me to this day that I'll never forget. She said, Colin, if you are filled with Jesus, you cannot help but to share his goodness with the world. That's a woman who shook my life. In those years, I was a UCC, an undercover Christian. I would spend time with the Lord in the morning. During the day, I wouldn't mention his name. Sundays, I would sit right at the back there, right at the back. And I so wanted to lift my hand in worship, and I couldn't. I'm just trying to keep it together. Yeah, just 1 second. I couldn't lift my hand. I was so worried that people will label me as a hypocrite, as a phony. Look at him. Doesn't know the Lord, but he knows me in the church. I was imprisoned, church. I had these big walls around me, and I couldn't break free. I started to cry before the Lord. I said, Lord, please use me. Break this thing over me. You must understand, hairdressers, we're trained and sort of programmed. Never talk religion, never talk politics, and never get personal. Okay? So I had this big wall in my life, in my salon. And I wanted to share, but I just couldn't, because I knew that my colleagues, if I say something, they were programmed the same way. They're going to say to me, Colin, that's unprofessional. You don't do that. But I saw, over the years, God started removing brick for brick until I had boldness and courage to kick down what was left on the wall. Now, I mean, my salon is free. I'm free to share. And it's by God's grace that just a couple of years ago, I was sitting right at the back there, And I'm not sitting in front. Sharing God's heart for you. God wants us to experience Him like David did. He wants our cups to overflow. He wants us to walk in abundance. Why? So we can share Him with the world. Share Him with the world. Unashamed. Organic. One of my pastimes, I love watching movies. I don't do it all the time. But one of my real treats in life is I go to the cinema. On a quiet day, I'll never go when it's busy. I'll select my movie, select my ticket. I'll make sure I'm at least 5 rows from the back. You know, I want to experience the full dynamics of the surround sound. I'm a little bit lower than center screen. Popcorn, cool drink. And I sit there and I enjoy my movie. And the next day, I'm telling everybody how wonderful it was. Oh, the surround sound and, gee, the plot and, you know, it was just amazing. You know, church, this is how God wants us to share Him. From a place of experience. How do we share His love if we never experienced His love? How do we share His peace in a world that's full of chaos if we not experience His peace in our own lives? God wants us to share Him. Like David's testimony. The Lord is my shepherd. Sure. Last scripture, Isaiah 55. And the heading to Isaiah 55 in my Bible is an invitation to abundant life. Isaiah 55. If we are thirsty after God, the only way to be thirsty is to come to the end of ourselves. If our cups are full, there's no place for God. We need to empty ourselves out. We need to become thirsty. And God will give us life. Life. He wants us to operate from the mountain, not to the mountain. To live our lives and witness Him from a place of peace and joy and rest. And do you understand? We're sons. We don't have to do a whole lot of encounters and join this and do that and be part of the praise and worship and spiel die oral in die kerk before we experience His peace. It's from the moment we believe in our hearts and we declare Him to be Lord, we experience Him. Amen? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You have no money. Come, buy, eat. Yes, come, buy with wine, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear. Come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Return here in the Hebrew means to repent, and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, He will abundantly pardon. Wow. Verse 12, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a cypress. Instead of the briar, the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting covenant, sign that shall not be cut off. This is His invitation and His heart for us. The devil has lied far too long to us that we're not worthy. We're not good enough. Our shame. God wants us to experience so much more than what we're experiencing now. And we shall go out with joy. Going out from where? From slavery to sonship. We shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. You know that song, eh? Let us close our eyes. Lord, this morning we declare that you are a good, good Father whose heart for us is so big. Forgive us, Lord, for ever entertaining the lies of the devil, that we're never good enough, that we have to do a whole lot of things to impress you with. Teach us to walk by your Spirit, Lord, and not by the flesh. Lead us, guide us, Father. I'm going to do an altar call this morning. I want us to close our eyes and just focus on the Lord. If you want to experience God so much more than what you're experiencing now, I want you to stand. If you are tired of sitting at your own table and you want to now sit at the table of God, I want you to stand. Let's keep our eyes closed, please. If you have no strength in you to testify of God's goodness, and you feel imprisoned just like I did, I want you to stand. Now, I want us to open up our eyes and look around you. Just look around you. We family. We're in this together. Amen? We're sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. And we are here as his ambassadors to share his goodness with the world. And just as a family, I want us to pray together as a family. Let's come before the Lord. Let's return to the Lord, for he wants to abundantly pardon. We're going to pray a simple prayer, but before we pray, I'm going to tell you what we're going to pray, because I want your heart to be in it. I don't want it just to be words. We're coming before the living God. First, we're going to repent for trying to establish our own righteousness. Secondly, we're going to repent, knowingly or unknowingly, have influenced others to do the same. And thirdly, we're going to receive our righteousness, not by a whole lot of conditions, but by believing in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen? So you can just follow me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we repent, Father, forever trying to establish our own righteousness. Forever influencing others to do the same. And this morning we receive our righteousness. Not by a list of conditions, but through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. May God bless you. May he keep you. And enjoy a coffee with us. Thank you very much.